On today's episode, we're going to talk about the importance of community, recording your sales process, and stake.
Let's go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Blind Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Jonathan Grzbowski, and today I have with me Alex Schlinski. He is the founder of Prospecting On Demand. Prospecting On Demand is an online mastermind and implementation bootcamp that helps entrepreneurs, marketers, and consultants grow their business by generating qualified leads daily through a proven system of lead generation and sales tactics. POD offers weekly mastermind calls, a full training course, private Facebook community, and also provides digital marketing services as fulfillment offers for members. Alex, how is your day going, my friend?
It is beautiful. Lovely morning here in Tampa, Florida. John, I appreciate you joining me here today. I appreciate you allowing me to come on. Excited to share some value with everyone, and hopefully everyone enjoys our conversation here today.
Sales is easily one of the most important things in a business, so I'm mutually excited to get into the brain of the sales mastermind. But before we get into all that fun stuff, Alex, we have to start the podcast off the same way we do every single time, and that's with an icebreaker. So,
love it.
Imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. What is that one place and what is that one piece of food that you're going to eat in order to make the day complete?
Food is definitely the right ask or question for me. My wife and I are both big foodies. I love food. Anyone that has not watched Chef's Table on Netflix, I strongly recommend it if you like food. It's pretty awesome. So best day, not to be too sappy, but the opportunity just to have my wife every morning and wake up to her every day, that definitely gives me the opportunity every day to have the best day. Am I pretending that I have the best day every day? No. So to play into your icebreaker, to be more fair and not so sappy, I'd say probably the best day would likely involve us being in Versailles in Paris. Last year we went, and that was probably the most incredible day, single day besides our wedding that I've ever had. And food-wise, I'm definitely a big steak guy. There's one specific steak that still really sticks out to me. On my 22nd birthday, we went to Capital Grill, and we had a top sirloin steak bone-in. I think it was 16 ounces. Man, if I could replay that 10 times over, I would. It was the greatest thing I've ever eaten.
Very nice. That's awesome. And how are we cooking the steak? Is it
medium all day. Medium 100%. I don't like it too rare, but anything over medium is like sacrilegious to anyone that eats steak. So
especially if the quality of the steak is so good, you know.
Yeah,
you
can't. Especially so. Also, I do allow a lot of the times if I go to a nice restaurant to get a steak, I'm gonna allow the chef to tell me, unless they're like rare, and then I'm like, nah, right. Can't be rare. But if they're like, we strongly recommend medium rare, I'll probably bite the bullet and it would be incredible regardless. But yeah, I'd say steak is probably my go-to. I love steak. I'm a meat guy.
Love it. Well, Alex, without further ado, please tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
Sure. So I appreciate the opportunity here. It's always funny when someone asks you kind of like who you are, what you do. You're trying to ask a human being, you know, with so many challenges and differences and unique capabilities and characteristics to kind of like paint ourselves into a box in a corner. And I've always found that to be a very unique question. I love Tim Ferriss's line on it. When he gets asked what he does, he says, "I'm a drug dealer," so that he doesn't get asked that question. So I won't say I'm a drug dealer because I'm not. But what I am, I think my elevator pitch, the best thing I could say about who I am in a singular sentence would be, I'm someone that's extremely passionate about helping others find what they're passionate about and what they can do to build the business of their dreams. I resonate very, very strongly with people that are looking to achieve things for themselves and for their family, and on the means as well as helping others. Those kind of three things really categorically define the type of person I am. If I can help people every day, I'm going to be satisfied. If I can take one step further to my wife and my goal and my family's goals, I can be happy every day. I really enjoy what I do. So my story as to kind of where I got started and how I moved into this entrepreneurial business kind of begins with my parents. Both my parents are entrepreneurs. They both had corporate jobs, but decided to leave those corporate jobs to pursue entrepreneurship for two reasons. Their most important reason for them was for their children, myself and my two older brothers, which obviously I respect quite a lot. My parents always put us ahead of themselves, which is something that I try to do and will try to do when I hopefully get the opportunity to be a parent myself. So my mom was not the CMO basically of Jessica McClintock, which was a huge company back in the 90s. They're no longer really anything, I don't think. But my mom ended up leaving that company in a very high position, as she had a 5-year-old son, myself, and two older brothers. I think at the time 13 and about eight or something like that. And basically she left because she was having to go to San Francisco every single week, flying back and forth. And she left my dad with three young boys for 5 days at a time and just wasn't working for her. So she left and pursued her passion of art, and she became an art teacher for 10 years in her own studio. In her own studio in Aventura, Florida, in a highly competitive area, not working for a school, not working for anyone, working for herself. And she made huge changes in kids' lives. Huge. I mean, massive. And you could see it. And she was so passionate about it. And it really made a huge difference in her. And that really inspired me to be the person I am. On my dad's side, slightly smaller story. He was a funeral director for almost 30 years, helping people in the worst time of their life. Obviously, losing a loved one or a family member is really hard. He decided to leave that job after about 30 years to pursue his own business in financial planning. And both of them really gave me the inspiration to want to do something like that, kind of be my own boss, figure out my own time, create my own wealth, create my own opportunities, and help people along the way, which is a very key characteristic here. And that's kind of what led me to, you know, leaving school. When I left school, I went to University of Central Florida. I graduated with psych degree honors, and I thought I was going to move into psychology, but I'm a very impressionable person. And in my first internship, the opportunity really dawned on me how negative the industry is. Obviously, it's very important. I'm very passionate about psychology. I love the human mind, but the people that you deal with in the industry, it's very tough. There are people going through really hard times in their lives, and I didn't believe that I would be able to leave my work at home or leave my work at work and come home and not put the stress on my family. So I decided against that, moving forward in that direction. I went into sports journalism for a little while, and then I kind of stumbled into digital marketing from there, from some connections I created. And now a couple years later, here we are with Prospecting on Demand, having almost 100 members in our mastermind, and making big changes in people's lives every day. So I wake up every day excited and thrilled to have these opportunities, and I go to bed every night feeling fulfilled and satisfied with what I'm doing.
Very cool. I mean, that's a great answer. I'd say it was from the greatness of like a politician, it was a great and eloquently stated. So, number one, congratulations on that. And the fact that you're able to feel the way that you do, is very rare. A lot of people, may be frustrated. They may be sad. They may be happy, but it seems like you have a really good balance on your hands. So again, kudos to you for all of that.
By the way, that it does feel that way, I just want to make a quick note here, because motivation is one of my big things. Because you hear someone like myself on a podcast say that I'm doing well and I feel good and I'm satisfied doesn't ever mean that I always feel that way or that I've never felt upset or frustrated or dissatisfied. Of course I have. Guys, I'm only 25 years old. I'm not sure how old you are watching or listening right now, but at the end of the day, you have to remember there's a journey to whatever goal you're trying to hit. Don't just go after the goal. I know the journey might be difficult. There's hills and valleys all the time. There's problems that you're going to encounter. But, right before Jonathan and I started the recording here, we were just talking about how grateful we are just to be able to speak to each other and see and eat and talk and converse. You just have to remember how grateful you are. Anytime you have any dissatisfaction in your life, I think of three things that I'm incredibly grateful for, and immediately your mindset shifts. It's without a doubt, you can't not have your mindset shift, because when you realize how blessed you are to have a roof over your head, to have food in the kitchen, to have a family that cares about you, to have friends that care about you, to be able to stand up and walk, to brush your teeth, to move, to see, to eat, these things are way taken for granted. So I understand if you're struggling right now in your business, and if you hear someone like myself, you think it's always, you know, daisies and roses. That's not the case. But you can be happy. You can be satisfied. You just got to remember what you're doing it all for, what you're grateful about, and making sure that you're taking action every day to hit your goals so that you can feel fulfilled, you can feel satisfied.
So do you think you've always been this way, this motivational person, or was this more so? Oh, okay, so let's talk about that. I mean, even as a kid, you were just that, like,
100%.
Yeah. And do you think that was, I mean, it sounds as if that it could have been from your upbringing. Do you feel it like is. Your parents are very similar 100%. To you, or
100%. So my mom and dad, were huge in my upbringing in terms of, like, respecting our name. That was huge for them. Respecting our name, the Schlinski name, very important, to my dad. So my grandfather, my dad's dad, the patriarch of the Schlinski name, died before I was born, about 6 years before I was born. So my dad obviously didn't get the opportunity to have his dad see his son, which is tough, right? So growing up, that was a huge factor in terms of my dad always making sure, like, you don't know my dad, you don't know your grandfather, but you need to respect your name, not just for me, but for him. And that was something that really touched on me. And what he would do is always tell me about his dad, how he was a good person. His dad was a rabbi, someone that was beloved in his community, someone that made big changes in people's lives. I'm not the most religious person there is, but I see, you know, religion for a lot of people is a big escape. It really, the community helps them, people that are in tough times in their life get through that through religion. And that's what my grandfather was doing. And my dad then utilized that to help people in their worst time in their life, during funerals and what may have it. And my mom's very similar. She's always someone that is always putting herself second to the person that needs her. And that kind of motivated me to be the type of person I am. In terms of confidence, having two older brothers that would incessantly, you know, pick on me, but also make sure that they stand up for me, right? Because they're my two older brothers, and they put an insane amount of confidence in me. They never let me doubt myself. They never told me that I couldn't do anything. They were always very keen on explaining to me that you are the master of your own domain. You control your mindset. Attitude is everything. Confidence is everything. Handling situations and framing situations in the way that you want to handle them and the way that you'd want to be handled, that's how you can be successful. So everything that I do is always focused and honed in on a few very important characteristics. One is confidence. Two is, can I help someone? Can I make a difference for someone? And three, is this going to move me in the right direction for the type of person that I want to be and the type of name that I'm holding, which is the Schlinski name? And those things have been huge aspects in my life. Two things I'll say that made big difference and might make a big difference for you or anyone watching. I read when I was younger, I used to have bad anger problems. I'd get frustrated super easily. I get really, really hot-headed. I'm a type A personality to the T, without a question. And I really wanted to work on that. I knew metacognition, which is thinking about thinking. I knew even at a young age that I could control my emotions, and it would frustrate me when you can't control it. Sometimes you don't have all the control of the emotions that you want to have. It just happens sometimes. That's why you feel catharsis when you're watching a movie that matters, right? Like when you watch a son and father in a movie, if you have a close relationship with your father, you might get welled up. You get, you know, that feeling in your chest. I had that for decade, like so long. I used to get that all the time. Doesn't happen as much now, but I do get moved all the time by movies, especially like art form. My mom's an artist, so that kind of moves me. But what I'm getting at here is the idea that there is this book I read back then that really made me change my entire mind, and it was called Attitude 101. It's a small little red book, very small little red book, and the book, all it is I think 10 to 20 sequences and scenarios, and each scenario has two different plays. It's the opportunity for the first time in your life to say, I could redo a scenario, right? So one of them that always stuck with me, because I'm a big sports fanatic and sports really resonate with me big time, like the storylines, the drama, the community aspect, the camaraderie, everything about sports really resonates with me a lot. And I always take, you know, energy and inspiration from sports, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Alonzo Mourning, all basketball. I'm a big football fan too. But basically, one of the scenarios, and I think this is really amazing, was a basketball team, and the star athlete was annoyed that he wasn't getting all the shots, and they lost the game. And they played these two scenarios out of how that star could handle it and what attitude he could bring to the framework. He could have the, you know, attitude of I'm isolated, I'm myself, no team, I don't care about the team, screw everyone else, and it comes off in a really bad light, right? He comes off in his life now from that moment is just a bad trajectory because he chose the wrong attitude. And then the other side of it is like what his attitude would be if he was like, oh, don't worry, we're a team together, we can help each other grow, and the opportunity is there. And that made a huge difference on my life reading those books. The idea that a simple mindset change, a shift in my mindset and my attitude could make a huge difference, not just for myself, but all the people I speak to. It's like when you go to a restaurant and if you're rude to your waitress or waiter, they're probably not going to give you very good service. However, if you're kind and polite, they're probably going to give you very good service. Attitude and the way that you speak to people matters. It really does. So that's really where my confidence and my attitude and mindset came from. And I think that makes a big difference. And then the final thing was my dad loves this line, and I use it all the time still. The success of what you're currently doing is based upon the foundation which immediately precedes it. So he was always so keen on not just enjoying what you've sowed, right? The reaping what you sowed, not just that, but you have to know exactly what you did right before that to make sure that you can keep on replicating that process. And that's kind of where POD came from, the idea to create systems so that your success will be based on that foundation that immediately precedes your success. And I always knew putting those two and two together, that quote, the book, that just bred a ton of confidence in me, bred the right attitude, I hope. Again, I'm not perfect. I've obviously had bad moments, but I really try very hard to always be taking the higher road, be the right kind of person, do the right kind of thing, and make the world change for better. If I'm going to come into this world, make a difference that's going to make someone satisfied, happy, create a smile on someone's face, these are the things that matter to me.
So let's talk about POD a little bit. How does all this story, this confidence, this person that you are today, how does that transition and translate into a prospecting company that would inevitably turn into a sale?
Yeah, so I think what happened was when I left school, and I really wanted to dive into sports journalism. As I said, a huge sports fan. I did. I was a Miami Dolphins media member, which was a huge life goal of mine. And I think that also is like a good test of persistence and confidence. I didn't have a journalism degree. I didn't have any experience in writing. I just knew that I knew football a lot and I was a good writer already. And I was persistent and very confident that I'd get the opportunity. I probably called the PR department for the Dolphins like 60 days in a row until they just gave up and are like, yes, you can come come to training camp as media. Yes, just stop calling us. And then I got a media pass for the entire 2014 season, which was incredible. It was kind of one of those things is like, fake it till you make it, but show that you actually can do what you can when you get there. It's like, if you're going to fake it till you make it, you better show up. Otherwise, don't even bother in the first place. So that's what I did. Really made a difference, but you don't make any money in sports. You just don't. Even if you work at ESPN or Fox Sports, which, I mean, they're cutting writers left and right, which is disgusting to me. Really hurts to see that. A lot of people I used to work with just losing their jobs without any warning. It's terrible. But leaving that, I got the opportunity in a weird transition to move into marketing for local MMA shows, mixed martial arts shows. And that kind of started the spawning of this digital marketing agency and business. Soon thereafter, I realized that my passion was not really helping just the small businesses, but helping the people that wanted to help the small businesses, because that's really what I care about. I'm a people person. I want to speak to people. I want to help people. I want to converse. I want to make changes. I want to take value. People are like so keen on the idea that there's like in every conversation, there's like the leader of the conversation and then there's the person getting value. No. In my conversations, I'm trying to provide value, but I'm also trying to glean value. I'm trying to take information and thoughts and inspiration from every single person that I speak to capitalize on the opportunities to speak to people. Everyone has different life experiences, and experience is by far the greatest teacher. And if you can learn from someone else's experience, you can cut the learning curve. You can literally cut the learning curve. I use this all the time, this line of the ladder to success. I use it all the time in sales, and it's not just a sales technique, it's reality. There's a lot of people in the world that believe there's a singular ladder to success, whatever that subjective term is for success. But regardless, in order to get to the top, you have to step on other people, throw them off, kind of do the dirty work. I don't think that way. Instead, I think we're kind of climbing Mount Everest together. And if there's someone that's a couple rungs ahead of you on the left, and he says, hey, if you go right, you're going to fall down. But if you go left, you'll be right behind me, and I promise you it will work out. What are you going to do? You're going to go left because you're going to listen to that person's past experience. And that's kind of what POD is for. POD is to help people that are trying to build this business for whatever reason. Hopefully it's for themselves, for their family, to make a difference for people. If someone just wants to make money, it's usually not a very good method or reason to join POD, or a very good reason to be in a business in the first place. You got to do something you're passionate about, something that's going to make you fulfilled, not just something that's going to stack the checks and pay the bills. It can't just be that. Unfortunately, some people don't have that choice. I made that choice. You make that choice. So just realize that. And that's kind of where POD kind of spawned from. You know, after having my agency for a little while, I purchased probably 3 to 5 digital marketing courses. I spent around $3,000 to $5,000 to learn my services. I realized that it's a really bloody red market. It's so saturated. And I soon realized the blue ocean that's available, which is prospecting. All of the courses were teaching how to utilize methods like, hey, here's how to run ads on Facebook, or here's how to run ads on Google. Here's how to do SEO. Here's how to do content marketing. Here's how to do Instagram marketing. And I'm like, well, why do the same thing as everyone else when the reality is everyone that's getting those services needs to know one critical thing, which is how to get leads in the first place. And that's what I focused on. So the next year and a half, my wife and I had her quit her job. We focused on every prospecting method under the sun and came up with about 5 to 10 that are surefire, work every single time, will generate you leads, will generate you opportunities, and allow you to grow. And then we created Prospecting on Demand from that. And now about 8 months later, we're here. We're about to hit 100 members, which I'm super, super excited about. We're about to launch POD 2.0, the elite level, which is something I'm thrilled over. And we're just making huge changes in people's lives, reading like posts about people that are saying, oh, I could pay my rent, or I can take my kid to Disney, or I could, you know, do this or that just because of you. And it's not for ego. The idea behind it is like, wow, we're really doing something that means something. And that is very critically important to me. And of course, like at the end of the day, you want to inspire others. And of course, I want to make my parents proud of who I became because of them. I don't want them to think by any means that I am anything. I would be nothing without them. They really inspired me to be able to do this. So it's very exciting for me to be able to like share with them updates about Prospecting on Demand, or them to watch me in these kind of scenarios, because they see what they've created, the type of person that they've made, and I think they're extremely proud of that, and that makes me very proud, and I hope I can make other people be proud of themselves and be proud of who they become, simply by cutting the learning curve, by utilizing someone that's willing to be out there for you, to have your back, to help you out. So many people online as entrepreneurs feel isolated, feel alone. It's like the weirdest thing ever. You're on Facebook, you have 1,000 friends, but what are you really doing? You're sitting in your house and you're like, I don't even have anyone to call. I don't even have anyone to reach out to. I got nothing. I got no one. But the reality is, of course you do. Because the thing is, people are afraid to ask. People are afraid to be vulnerable and let their guard down, because there's so much cynicism in this world that everyone thinks everyone's hateful and spiteful and wants to get ahead of you. I don't want to think that. I refuse to think that. I want to help people. I want to make a difference for people. And if you want to do that too, you can. And it doesn't mean that you can't make money doing it. Doesn't mean you can't be successful doing it. It means you can help and inspire other people. And that's really what my modus operandi is every single day of my life.
Yeah. Well, mom and dad, if you're listening and watching, be proud of this young man. He's absolutely killing it. I'm curious to hear about how techniques that people can use today in order to prospect. Again, you hit it, nailed it on the head. Prospecting is extremely difficult. A task that people just simply don't want to do. They don't like doing. They stop midway through because they're not seeing the results. So, can you give us some tips, some tricks in order to help all of us today with prospecting?
Definitely. So, first of all, there's two major things involved in prospecting. One, before even doing any method or outreach or anything at all, it's understanding your ideal customer avatar. who is the person that you want to reach out to? And I don't mean saying, oh, he's a 25 to 35 year old entrepreneur who is interested in Tony Robbins. You got to get way deeper than that. You have to know their pains. You got to know what they're dealing with in their life, where they're at financially, who they're inspired by, what YouTube videos they're watching, what they listen to, what podcasts they're listening to, what magazines they read, what methods are they trying out that are making differences for them. If you could really dive deep into your customer avatar, once you get on a call with them, it's not a sales call, it's not a consultation, it's a conversation to assuage their pain, to solve whatever their pain is. And you know, you want to talk about sales. Sales at the end of the day is one simple thing. It's your solution their pain is being solved by your solution, your offer. And if you know their pain and you're able to articulate that very clearly and then express how your solution, your offer, your service can actually assuage that pain, you've closed it every time. The only way to know someone's pain really well is by diving deep into their avatar. So I challenge you first to really understand who you want to reach out to. Too many people want to throw a catch-all net, a wide net. That's essentially needle in the haystack prospecting. You don't want to do that. If you can metaphorically see this and you saw a pile of hay and there's a needle in there and then you have a fish in a barrel, which one are you going to choose? You're definitely going for the fish in the barrel. So what's the metaphor attached to the fish in the barrel? Really understanding what the fish's pain is. What's the fish's pain? He wants out of the barrel. You throw him into the water. You sold him. That's metaphors, obviously. But the idea behind it is just diving into taking action is doing needle in the haystack. That's what everyone does. And that's exactly why what you just said is true, where they're like, this is not working. I'm on to the next. And what do they get? Shiny object syndrome. You're like, oh, well, this didn't work. Let me try this. This didn't work. Let me try this. It's not the method necessarily. It's the understanding of who your avatar is, what they really need from you, why your offer is not resonating with them. So when I speak to people on the calls that I have for entrepreneurs, they're like, how do you like know everything that I'm feeling right now? How do you like know this? Well, two things. One, I spent a ton of time on my customer avatar. And two, this is probably my 500th call with someone like yourself. And that really allows me to get the experience of understanding how similar all these people are. It's kind of shocking. You might not realize how similar you are to other humans in your scenario. Now, our unique differences is what makes us special, like our unique interests outside of our, you know, standard interests. Like, for example, you take a group, Miami Dolphins fans. Okay, they have a shared interest, but all of their unique differences are special. They might like different music, probably have different jobs, right? This is different. But in your sector that you choose, you got to know the pain point that they're feeling so that you can really express that to them, empathize with them, step into their shoes, feel what it's like. If you're trying to sell someone just for the sake of selling and putting money into your pocket, you're never going to do it, ever. You got to help someone. You got to solve something for them. That's why when you go to a restaurant, you're not just exchanging finances. You're getting fulfilled through hunger. You're getting food. It may not be good. You might not like it, but at least you're getting fulfilled. That's the idea. There's never really any transaction that doesn't have some sort of pain and solution involved in it, almost ever. So I think that's kind of the first step to prospecting, understanding your customer avatar really well. And then number two is utilizing the proper methods. So there's two types of prospecting methods, or overarching terms at least. One is inbound lead generation. Everyone eventually will need inbound leads, meaning people coming to you for your service. This is a time-based thing. Usually you do not start with inbound lead generation. Why? It's extremely expensive in terms of the initial investment, especially if you don't know your customer avatar. And to try to optimize through that, you could spend several $1,000s before you really get to what you're looking for. But it is, at the end of the day, the ultimate goal. You don't want to be out there just outreach. You want to be getting leads coming in. Same inbound lead generation includes, by the way, referrals and word of mouth. Those are not systems, though, right? Those are random. So like if, for example, if Jonathan and I finish this call and he's like, man, I love this podcast. My friend so-and-so needs to be in POD and he sends me it. That's inbound leads, but it's a referral that I didn't control. So there's no system behind that. So you have to have a system, right? Has to be a method that you can replicate either yourself or hire someone to replicate it, which is what should be your ultimate goal because you're trying to free up time and free up finances to do what you like, correct? So inbound leads, ultimate goal, but you can't really start there. So what do you start with? Cold outreach, right? Outbound lead generation. So outbound lead generation is where 99% of people find themselves in. They find themselves in shiny object syndrome, paralysis by analysis, decision-making, you know, problems where they can't figure out what offer to make and they're just like, plaguing themselves, here's a couple of tips. One, done is better than perfect. You don't have to be perfect. There's literally millions of fish in the sea. Start with a couple split tests and just see what happens. If someone says no or screw you or F off, brush it off and move on. At the end of the day, you don't want to work with those type of people anyways, and you have to have some thick skin as an entrepreneur. You have to be able to take a no. There's actually a book, and one of my POD members, one of the Hall of Famers, Phil Calavet, he actually utilizes this line all the time, go for no. Like, at the very least, you want to at least get a no, because that means they've answered you, and now you can move on, right? So go for no, because eventually there's a yes somewhere in there. Is that an effective long-term solution? Of course not. You're not looking for 100 no's to get one yes. But in the beginning, 100 no's to one yes could be the biggest deal ever for you. You might not have anything in revenue, and you hustle your ass off, and then suddenly that one yes is $2,000 in revenue that you didn't have before. You tell me if that's worth it, right? So what kind of methods work really well? For outbound lead generation, here's a couple. It really strongly depends on your niche, but LinkedIn is an amazing source. Do not go after any white collar businesses on LinkedIn. Just stop asking me about it. I get asked all the time, is it good to do dentists and chiropractors and lawyers on LinkedIn? No. They hire people to avoid people like yourself. They are not caring about what you have to offer them. Go after their office managers if you want to. That's a good hint and a good tip. Now, in terms of getting your biggest opportunity, do not forget about your personal network. People like forget that personal network is available, and your personal network has the smallest leap of faith you're asking them to make because they know you. They already know you. So they're not even investing in your service. They're investing in you. When I started in POD, the first thing I did was get a group of 10 people in my personal network. I didn't ask them to invest in POD. I asked them to invest in my idea. And I said, hey, can you please invest in my idea so that I can provide you with value? And then you give me feedback and a testimonial after it's done so that I can build this to something I want. If I did not have those first 10 people in POD, I would never be where we are today. Without a question, would not be there because I got vital feedback. Same thing. So use your personal network for one of two things. One, reach out and see if they know any business owners that can work with you, whether you're a marketer or a real estate agent, whatever it is. You might have leads right on your fingertips that you don't know about. Take that advantage. If they know a referral, offer them a nice dinner or a $200, percentage or a $200 referral bonus, whatever it may be. Make some offer to get them interested in helping you and show them, hey, I'm starting out. I could use some help from you. There might be $10,000 worth of business right in your network that you might not know about. And it's pretty powerful to go after it. So those are some of the methods I would utilize. Personal network, LinkedIn is really good. And then one other one I would say is Facebook outreach. Business pages on Facebook are there so that they can answer people. Reach out to them. See if they're someone that can work with you. Do not do cold calls ever unless you're following up with someone that you've already messaged before. Cold calls are the easiest way to not be effective. If you want a cold call to do research analysis, go for that because at the end of the day, you'll get some experience. You'll get a couple no's probably, which is fine, right? So you're going for the no anyhow sometimes. So I wouldn't be too concerned if you get a no there, but don't go for a cold call to solicit someone. I'm sure you've gotten calls from, the IRS or, the free home security system. What's your first move on that call? Hang up, block the number, or call them back and mess with them, right? So no one likes to be solicited. So don't solicit, but you can call someone and be like, hey, chiropractor A, I know you're super busy, but I'm about to work in this industry. I have one quick question for you. Ask the question, confirm your avatar. Thanks so much for your time. And then maybe at the end of it, hey, by the way, are you marketing or are you doing this or could you use this? And then if they say yes, great. If they say no, whatever, you got confirmed of your avatar. So those are couple things that I would do if you're getting started. But the biggest thing I think comes down to confidence and ensuring you really know your avatar because you're going to get no's and you're going to probably get a little flustered, but that's okay. You just got to be very confident and know that this is a numbers game at the end of the day and you will succeed. It's just a matter of time as long as you take action every day.
So a couple of things come to mind. Number one is you have these, your customer profile, you go on LinkedIn, you go on Facebook, whatever platform that it is. What are you saying to those individuals in order to spark their interest, in order to get into their mind, to get in front of mind in order to talk to them?
Sure. So there's a lot of methods to get a conversation started. It depends, but I would never go for the jugular. You never go for the kill right away. You got to be kind of like a cat. You kind of be sly. You got to be a little, you know, sneaky. Make sure that you are getting to the conversation to the point that you want. If you're going as a lion and just like, that's a terrible metaphor, by the way, because I just said you're trying to be a cat. So not a lion. If
house
you're gonna,
cat versus a lion.
Yeah, exactly. A bear, I guess. You're going to be a bear and just go for a kill right away. You might destroy Leonardo DiCaprio, but you're probably not going to get the client. That was a Revenant line, by the way, if no one got that. Great movie. Strongly recommend it. Yeah, what I was saying really is you can't go for the kill right away. First of all, I usually go with close-ended questions. Ask them a simple question to get a response, because that's what you're first trying to do, create a conversation starter. So something like, hey, are you utilizing Facebook ads for your business? Or, hey, are you getting enough leads in your business? Or, hey, have you found the most recent success with Zillow? Or are you utilizing Thumbtack for your business? With the hope that someone that's interested would start going off from that tangent. There's a lot of people out there like that. A lot of people out there are look at a message and are like, yes, and then they're done. Then there's a ton of people that will look at that and be like, yes, it's so funny that you mentioned that. I did this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other, and then a question to you. Now a conversation's begun. If they do the yes or no response simply, probably not the best way to continue the conversation or lead, but then you could start moving into your CTA, your call to action. And that usually aligns with a couple offers that you have, whether it's a video audit offer, competitor analysis, free consultation, which doesn't really hold much weight these days, especially if you don't have experience. I mean, free consultation to a lawyer means nothing to him because his time is more valuable than yours in his mind. So it doesn't really make a difference. You got to do something that's very valuable up front. Always lead with value. Always. Every single time. Always want to lead with value. So for POD, how do I lead with value? On all my ads, we give free information. You don't have to buy anything. Free information for you to utilize to go get clients right now. I spoke to someone this week and they got 5 clients from one of my methods. 5 clients over $10,000 in revenue, or about $10,000 in revenue from one of our methods, from Facebook outreach, using the script that we provide for free on our ad. And I reached out to him and I'm like, hey, how'd it go? He said, I got 5 clients. And I wanted to get him to do a testimonial, but he's so busy with those 5 clients, he doesn't even have the chance to do it. He doesn't have to buy anything to POD for him to get access, but he might want to buy it now that he saw, hey, this is free. What's the paid information like, right? So value always first, close-ended questions to get the conversation started, and never go for the kill immediately. Never go for the immediate call to action.
So you have your sales scripts, you have your sales, you have your customer profile or customer avatar, and now you're ready to scale, which is the, you know, the icing on the cake, so to speak. So can you speak to that a little bit? I'm sure there's people out there that are trying to think about how to scaling their business. What are some things that we should be looking for? What are some things that have worked?
So scaling comes down once you are able to invest about 10% of your revenue into advertising, and that 10% has to be like at least $1,000, right? So if my math's correct, right, you have to make $10,000 in revenue to get to that 10%, which is $1,000. I really strongly advise that you do not start before you get to that 10K mark. If you get to 5K and you want to spend $500 a month, go for it, but $500 local advertising, depending on where you live, it might not be anything. So like if you live in LA or Miami or any large metropolitan city, New York, $500 is nothing. If you live in Idaho, if you live in Wyoming or Kansas or a small little suburb city, $500 could be $5,000 in New York, right? So you have a lot of opportunity. So you kind of got to understand where you're located and what your competition is and what you're trying to accomplish. But once you're ready to scale, once you can afford the 10% in marketing, and we do about 25%, so we do a lot more than the average because our methods work really well. Is that super risky? Yes. Has it bit us in the ass a couple times? Yes. Has it paid back, though, 100 times ROI sometimes? Yeah, sometimes we've had insane ROI, like unbelievable return on the investment, and that's just can't even fathom how it happens. And that's the piece that I'm always trying to replicate, how to continue that very high return on the investment. So in order to scale, you have to have inbound lead systems. You cannot do outreach via scaling unless you hire a VA, but you're hiring a human to do outreach. There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee in inbound leads, but at the very least, it's a computer system, right? It's systemized through an ad. So it's a little different, but for ads, you need to have a funnel that's going to allow you to put an offer out there that's intriguing and value-based based, then they can book, they can do an upsell, whether it's booking a call with you or purchasing something directly, and then honing that in through targeting either on Facebook or Google. And that's exactly how you scale. So it does take some time. So I'd say if you're anything regarding marketing at all, and you're doing anything in marketing or just an entrepreneur in general that's looking to kind of scale your business, always start by first doing outreach, learning as much as you can about your customer avatar, getting feedback from your current clients, reviews, testimonials, referrals. All those things are very important first. Then move into inbound lead generation and then start scaling.
Now, when it comes to the sales funnel, the sales process, the prospecting process, are there any resources that you use every single day that you just can't live without?
Tools that I use every day. Facebook for sure, which I'm not so thrilled about. It's very concerning to me and should be concerning to everyone listening that if your business is very much focused on a singular platform that I have no control over, that's pretty scary. I have zero control over Facebook at all. None. I could scream from the top of my lungs. Mark Zuckerberg won't give two craps about it. So that's a little bit concerning. So you should consider that. But Facebook definitely, because of our private group and my two groups. I have a free group also, Prospecting Powerhouses, which you can feel free to join. So I'd say, I would say record all of your sales calls. You can't learn anything if you're not recording and re-listening to them. People think that's like a ludicrous thing. And then once they start listening to their sales calls, they pick up five like key points that they're like, oh, I messed that up and I didn't ask that right question. I stumbled over here and now I can recalibrate and do it better. So QuickTime for recording calls works really well. LinkedIn, I use every day probably. I don't use it. I have my VA use it. And we have some tools that we use that I'm going to keep close to the vest here for the POD fam. But yeah, I would say there's nothing really that's like you need to use every single day. What really matters is taking action every single day. But in terms of tools, there's not too much really.
Okay. No, that and that's fair. You know, I'm also curious to see about how to build a community, because you're using Facebook groups, you're using, you know, your whole story is about your community, whether it's like the community of your family, helping people, et cetera, et cetera. So how has building a community helped POD and helped you as a brand?
Oh man, it's huge. I mean, it's the whole thing. So like my goal for Prospecting On Demand was for everyone that comes in, you got to understand that this is not just about you. There's a lot of selfishness around the world out there. But then right as soon as you need something, the most selfish person that needs something expects everyone to drop everything for them, right? And so weird. So weird. Well, people are much more willing to help someone as long as they're also willing to help others too. So that's kind of my MO. So I get on there and I'm saying, look, I've got your back. I've 100% got your back. We got 100 people in here, but I'm going to do my best to give you my time when I can to help you as best as I can to make sure that you're going to succeed. I don't allow everyone and anyone to come in. I'm only going to allow the people that I know we can get a return on the investment for and help them grow their business. Also, I want to make sure that they fall categorically into what I'm trying to accomplish, which is building a community of people that help, that want to hold them each other accountable, that want to not feel isolated, that are, when they have value, share it. So yesterday we were on our mastermind call and we had 25 of the POD members on there, and we're chatting for 3 hours yesterday, all growing together, and there's connections being made throughout the call, like, hey, I should be speaking to you because we're in the same niche and I could help you, and then, hey, I have this piece of value or this email that I use in this work, let me share it with you. That's what we're about, right? You don't have to like hold everything to the vest. There's enough fish in the sea for everyone to be successful and everyone to be satisfied and happy. So there doesn't need to be this competitive nature of like everyone needs to, you know, kill everyone else to be successful. It's just crazy. It's not the case. I think a cooperative environment can really breed incredible things. I think competition is great in the right times. Like business competition, I'm not so keen on it, really. I know that might sound absolutely ridiculous to a lot of people, but I'm not very keen on it. Competition is good in terms of like a battle of wits, right? So, or battle of skill. But in terms of a battle of business, there's enough for everyone. It doesn't, their greed is a really horrible aspect of some humans that just doesn't need to be there. Because at the end of the day, you know, there's people that are a lot worse off than you that desperately need the dollar that you don't. I always say this, by the way, in Florida, panhandling is like so common. And if you don't know what panhandling is, it's people on the street asking for money. It's very common pretty much in any major city. So basically, it's not that I give charity to those people every single time, but my mindset always is if my dollar is worth more to me than it is to that person, there's something really wrong with me. There's something seriously messed up in my brain, because if I'm looking at that guy sitting on the floor outside of a 7-Eleven with no shoes and a scraggly beard and probably hasn't eaten in a day, and I'm about to dump into my car that's fully paid off as a gift from my parents, and I have a family that I'm providing for, and I have money in my pocket, why the hell does my money in my wallet, is it not better suited for him at that moment? I think it is. Does that mean I'm going to give him $100? No, I'm not perfect. I'm not the greatest, you know, philanthropist there ever was, but I think it really matters to me a lot. The sense of community and making a difference for people. It's the reason why I do this. I wouldn't do this if I couldn't do that. And that's why I left the, I didn't leave, but I built my agency and then handed it off to the right team members, because that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be in that business. I wanted to be helping people. That was my business. That was what I wanted. And that's where we were able to build the community. And everyone that comes in, I'm like, look, hold yourself accountable. Post in our group. Inspire other people. Even if you get no's or losses, no one's boasting in POD. It's not like, yeah, I got my first client. Ha ha, screw you. It's like, I got my first client. Go get yours. And when you see those posts, it's like, that's what that's about. This is what POD is about right there, right in front of your face. No more isolation. No more feeling alone. You reach out to someone in POD. They're there to help you. Put an olive branch on your back and say, look, I'm here for you. If you need me, I'm there for you. And that's really what matters to me, because I want someone to be there for me when I need it just as much as I'm there for them when they need it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And honestly, the information that you've provided, you know, your story, the fact that you just want to build and help people, it's a true testament to who you are as a person. And I couldn't be more grateful for the opportunity to hear your story today. Before we end, I just want to ask quickly, what are some of what are the Facebook groups that people can search for in order to be a part of? And then I'll ask my final question to you, after that.
Sure. So we have a free group called Prospecting Powerhouses. You can find that online. If you do bit.ly, bit.ly/capital prospecting capital power, you can find it shorthand. But if you search on Facebook, there's almost 1,000 people in there, so it won't be hard to find Prospecting Powerhouses. That's our incubator, free content to join POD if you like. If you're interested in prospecting on demand, you can go to prospectingondemand.com/welcome. You can also friend me on Facebook, Alex Schlinski, facebook.com/Schlinski. You can find me and friend me and we'll chat, and I'll happily invite you to join our family if you're a good fit. And those are kind of the best ways to get in touch with us.
Yeah, well, that was actually my next question, which was, how are they going to be able to contact you? And you just listed all that. And there is also going to be all on the show notes, so people can follow you directly and people can reach out to you. I'm sure there's going to be some other things that we could put on there as well, because you just have a wealth of information. But, you know, without further ado, Alex, thank you so much for your time today. To those of you who are still listening and watching, thank you guys for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Until next time, everyone, have a good rest of your day.
See ya.
Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.